pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Happy Monday morning to you. Thank you for being with us. We always appreciate you tuning in. Text line, you want to get engaged with the program. It's real easy. 251-343-0106. That's all you got to do. You can text me and we will do our best to respond to whatever it is that could be on your mind. Coming up on the program, late cancellation here. Shane Stringer, as promised on Friday, he's a little ill today, so we'll have to do a makeup appearance later on. But in the meantime, the 10 o'clock hour, Dale Jackson joins us as he does on Mondays. And we got one more, at least one more go-around with Austin Sidwell, the one of the candidates running in the Republican primary on Tuesday, or tomorrow, I should say, for Congress. So it's Election Day Eve, or I guess it would technically be special election primary Eve. These elections are getting ridiculous, I tell you. That we are, there's so many of them, and there's going to be a low turnout tomorrow. But, I get it. These candidates are like, get out and vote. Do your best you can to get out and vote. But you can't blame people for having to endure an election seemingly every 3-4 months on average, some sooner than that, some a little longer than that. Getting out to vote tomorrow, let me know how that's going to look for you. I assume a lot of you are either will forget because it's not been a very popularized political event. But we'll do our best to give you all of the tools you need before you go to vote if you live in the 1st Congressional District. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. I guess we can start here. Coach Tommy Tuberville at the BCA event that we're not supposed to talk about. Over the weekend, in my neck of the woods, down the street. So talk about data centers. So that's not going to be one that's going to win him a lot of hearts and minds, at least on the populist right, center, whatever it may be. But that's probably the biggest takeaway there. There were some other things, but essentially it's just an excuse to get for these lawmakers and other public policy leaders, makers to get wined and dined. It's an exclusive thing to them. It's so weird. Where are you going? You win the Super Bowl, you go to Disney World. You win a legislative election. I'm going to the Grand. Also over the weekend, surprisingly, Bobby Singleton, who you've heard me talk about on this show quite a bit during the legislative session. He's nothing but an obstructionist. And he uses his obstructionism. He veils it in like just being a good Democrat, the loyal opposition. But he uses it in ways that aren't really for the Democrat side, but kind of for, I don't know, whoever's chummy with him in the hallways to stop a lot of bills. And there's sort of a racket here, if you will. He and Jabbo Wagner is probably more so of a Smitherman phenomenon. But anyway, what they'll do is they'll conspire. Senator Wagner is the chairman of the Rules Committee. He'll lay out the calendar. There'll be a few bills at the end of the calendar that are very touchy subjects for the Montgomery establishment. But then they'll front load the calendar with some red meat, very easy for Democrats to oppose, very easy for Democrats to filibuster. And they'll use that as their justification for killing what would, you know, be good government, good bills, good Republican supermajority type legislation. And they'll filibuster like a library bill or whatever, you know, Birmingham Waterworks or something. But Senator Singleton, or I guess I could call him Leader Singleton, is now the chairman of the Alabama Democratic Party. Randy Kelly, who's sort of the Joe Reed guy, and Joe Reed, if you're any student of Alabama politics, he has been, certainly since 2010, the Democratic Party boss, but a Democratic Party boss from since the 60s. His handpicked guy lost in a big, big way at the Democrat meeting over the weekend by 100 and something votes. The final tally was 72.7% to 27.3%. So everybody's asking me what I make of it, what do I think of it. And my reaction is I can't wait to see the skirmishes between Bobby Singleton and Joe Reed. Get your popcorn. Because that's likely to happen. So, you know, does it matter that, you know, the two main party chairmen are members of the legislature? So on the Republican side, our friend Scott Stathagen was the majority leader. By the way, that's going to be interesting. Does Paul Lee return to be majority leader next year? And then on the Democrat side, the minority leader in the Senate, Bobby Singleton. Democrats have some opportunities here in this state. They're not going to win a statewide election. That's silliness. Doug Jones will not be governor. But they can win some down ballot races, and there's a bunch of things going for them here. And it's obviously going to be a Democrat cycle in a way that favors Democrats. But also, now it won't be universal. Republicans have been able to play damage control with some redistricting, but there's going to be a national mood, a national sentiment, especially if the Iran war is prolonged. Nothing's really changed. OC oil is at $80 a barrel, so and so I think that's going to hurt Republicans. And there's going to be a bunch of little things that cumulatively will hurt Republicans. And the historic precedent of the party out of power, out of the White House, doing well in the midterms, so that's going to have an impact in Alabama. That you got Trump derangement syndrome types, or, you know, it's not just Trump, any Republican derangement syndrome types, we're motivated to go out and vote. They'll show up in Alabama, and they'll go straight to the check the Democrat box, and they won't even look at the rest of the ballot. They'll turn it in and get their sticker and be on their way. But also, there's just a Senate seat up in North Alabama, certainly a House seat that's still in Democrat hands. There'll be, that was a special election right after the 22 cycle. It's supposed to be a bellwether. Doug Jones on the ballot will help some of these people. I have children at home today. School's out or starts this week. if you're wondering what the background noise is. But there'll be that. And just like I said, I think this redistricting case earlier this year is going to motivate Democrat turnout, especially against the legislature. But they had to do it. You know, this was a Republican seat they got to go after. Now, will they go after it in 28? Remains to be seen. But such as it is, there's just a bunch of little things that are going to add up. They're going to put Democrats in a better position. And I think getting Randy Kelly out of the way, and then there's going to be a Joe Reed sort of dynamic with Bobby Singleton, is going to be a net benefit for these guys. Will Singleton be able to raise money? I don't know. Certainly, as a member of the legislature, he could lean on some of the associations a little bit better than the others. But keep an eye on that. Who gives money to Bobby Singleton for party purposes? Because I certainly think that is in play now. And they have a little cash in their pocket. They are able to just run against Trump. Democrats could pick off a seat or two. Some of them, maybe won't even be on the radar. But the Louisiana decision and the preceding or the subsequent decision on Alabama is going to motivate a lot of Democrats to turn out. That's just a reality. So, you know, if you don't like that message, then I would tell you just to make sure you get out. Make sure your friends get out to vote. But some of you probably don't think it's even worthwhile. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program. One more thing here before we get to the break. What do we think of Steve Marshall, at least considering actions against Anthony Fauci? Somebody brought this up on the text line on Friday, and they're talking about pursuing him in a civil way over COVID-19. Could you, if you're going to go after him, could you go after Scott Harris and Governor Ivey's administration? Could they be culpable for damages? Because there was bad advice given. And it costs a lot of people their livelihoods, their businesses. It hit them. You had to stay home from work, and they had the Paycheck Protection Program or whatever, but that didn't really, you know, especially a lot of service industry, because after COVID wrapped up, some people were still afraid to go out. I think it's important. At least let's have that discussion. If we're going to hold federal officials accountable, do state-level officials have that same burden? I mean, clearly not. If you look at the way people treated Joe Biden over his missing in action, and our governor, who's done a great job at avoiding the same scrutiny, maybe Biden should have found whoever she's got working for her. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. And offers coming over the phone. Old Rope Elijah, well, he never got a kiss. Old Rope Elijah, he don't know what he missed. Is it any wonder that his face is the red? Time. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, just text me about an hour or so from now. Dale Jackson from WVNN and also Sidwell in the 11 o'clock hour. Between now and then, you got me for the next hour and change. We'll start on some text here. Tyler If we're going to go after people, I think the descendants of all the murder Japanese in World War II probably have a case against Eisenhower's descendants for firebombing cities in Japan. I don't think so. I think in a, when you have a formal declaration of war, it's the rules are different. Also, I just where does this come from? Why? I mean, I don't. I'm talking about COVID, and I'm talking about bad guidance and under our system of laws. And that doesn't mean that if you go after the Anthony Fauci or the federal government, you're going to be successful. Not at all. But it's a total apples and oranges thing, Tyler. Jason, good morning, Jeff. What are you seeing out of the Rep. Marcus campaign? And is he on track to beat Shamari? Well, I don't know how that's going to go. I suspect Rep. Will do well. He has the Trump endorsement. His opponents, primarily Hampton Harris, in the Republican primary tomorrow, have been really hammering him on his gas tax vote in 2019. It's come up a lot. Dave Matthews is another one running in that race that I see a lot of buzz from. I guess what we need to see, Jason, to know how he would, you know, assuming that Rep. Marcus is the nominee, he needs to win by a big margin tomorrow to at least kind of put that at rest. And if he just wins, he's still a favorite. But this is what I would say, that district's gone Democrat. It's been 20 years. In 2008, you had Barack Obama at the top of the ballot. Bobby Bright was a Democrat nominee, beat Jay Love to win that seat. It was a short-lived time in Congress for Representative Bright, the former mayor of Montgomery. But the difference here in that race and this time, there's some slight changes to the district that were supposed to favor Democrats, as it was deemed by the legislature to be an opportunity district. The court, you know, remember, the court rejected that notion and then just went and drew their own maps, which later have been since have been thrown out by the Supreme Court. So that's one thing, you know, like to really know the answer to that question, I think tomorrow will tell us a lot. But Shamar figures as a incumbent. He'll be able to raise some money. And I think the reason that Shamar figures is even in Congress and had won the Democrat primary 2 years ago had a lot to do with him making peace with Stephen Reed, Joe Reed, all the right people in Democratic Party circles. They would. Anthony Daniels was the other candidate, but you had to think about Anthony. He was a Huntsville guy. He represents North Huntsville, the Alabama legislature, and he was running in a congressional district that he was 200 and some odd miles away from, which is, you could do that. Yeah, because I said this a lot at the time. There was the possibility that a guy would be representing the north neighborhoods of Huntsville, Alabama on Monday, be sworn into Congress, and be representing the be representing Grand Bay and Tillman's Corner on Tuesday.
Then it cried just
into U.S. Congress.
And it turned that car around.
251-343-0106 is the text line, but we won't know really until after tomorrow's votes are tallied just how strong Representative Marcus is for the November election. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
The whole world called me Hank. You said, Ripper, can you make folks cry when you play and sing?
Looking like that you in Jackson, and I
to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line, if you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Dale Jackson coming up in about an hour, so please stay tuned for that. Named Texter, good morning, Jeff. Any thoughts on Angie and Rhett screaming at people at the candidate forum? I mean, it's just the heat of the campaign. Is it a wise thing to do? No, don't do that. Keep your emotions in check. Angie Horn, who I know, I wouldn't say we're friends or anything, but I know her well. I mean, she had a tough cycle with, she was Wes Allen's consultant as well. And you know how that ended. Secretary Allen thought to be the favorite to be lieutenant governor, started, got in the race early, traveled the state, did what he thought he needed to do. I disagreed with some of it, especially not being on this show regularly. But anyway, they lost to John Wall, who got in on the last day of qualifying, somehow got the Trump endorsement, and it was over from there. So she's probably on edge with that, and then you put on top of that a sort of an overtime election event with Representative Marcus. And the emotions are, you know, very high. Patience is very thin. So I'm not necessarily trying to condone it or say it's okay, but I get it. And I think we've seen this in the past, but I don't think it's a big deal. The people who are going to vote for Rhett Marcus are still not going to vote for him. I don't know that this changes anything. Like I said, just don't do it. It's a bad look, okay? It really is. It's not a good practice. But it is kind of what it is. Let's see. Damn Yankee, the fear of power and water as related to the data centers is fake news. The real fear is people don't like their personal information being collected and don't like AI. Well, then the fight is against AI, not against data centers. Now, listen, I get it. You don't have one without the other. The data center crowd, a lot of them seem to have moved on to Flock cameras. If you want something that's really like a direct assault on privacy, on your due process, it's these Flock cameras. Those seem to be truly something that is, you know, the data centers are just kind of a tool. Yes, maybe there's some environmental concerns. But when we had the whole data center discussion about a month ago, it was a mixed bag of reasons for opposition. The environmental concerns, power, utility rates going up. In Alabama, your electric bill's already high. By the way, guys, on that, a year from now, your lawmakers are going to be in session. You need to ask. If now, the electricity prices could come down between now and then. But if they don't, you need to remember what happened with the Public Service Commission. And this just hell-bent desire to change it. Why are my prices still high? If that indeed is a thing, now it may not be a thing. They may come down. Governor Tuberville may move them lower. I'm also starting to hear some discussion, and this is maybe a North Alabama conversation, but it's very interesting to me. back on the Bellefonte. There's a nuclear power plant northeast Alabama in Jackson County that is been mothballed. It was supposed to be built during the Carter administration. It's largely still there. No one really knows what to do with it. And over the years, there have been multiple efforts to get that back up and going. The last time they tried to do this, now get ready. And this was the not my backyard. People who didn't live there, the people who live there, I think, want this thing. I spent like time on the ground reporting this out back at the, it was 18, 17, 18, 19 with the TVA. But there's a private company wanted to come in and buy the facility and get money. Now, they needed subsidies from the federal government to make it happen, but start generating electricity. Well, we were told there's no demand for this electricity. You're creating electricity for the grid that is not needed, no one wants, no one's going to use. It's just not worth it. And here we are today, about a decade later, talking about how high your utility rates are. Now, you know, electricity is not necessarily a product of the supply and demand curve. Everything's so regulated, and all these, they're guaranteed profits at Alabama Power, Power South, TVA, whatever. But if we had more electricity on the grid, more available, I got to think that would have an impact on the price. More to sell. So there's some discussions about that. But back to my main point here was, like, you know, the Alabama legislature, y'all need to remind your lawmakers, hey, remember that time you told us that this public service thing was the end-all be-all of fixing everything once and for all in Alabama when it comes to your high power bills? Well, what happened there? My suspicion is that your power bill will remain the same. Tuberville's out there talking about this. But he's also talking about, on the other hand, we need more data centers. Matthew, Austin Sidwell has a promising political future. Sadly, I just don't see Mr. Sidwell pulling out a win at tomorrow's election against Jerry Carl. Well, and if he doesn't, I hope he does stay in the game. I think he's a serious candidate. Sometimes you see these guys run and you get to, it's a vanity campaign. They just always, you know, wanted to run for something. So they'll run for Senate or Congress or whatever. And you know that it's very rare that someone out of the blue kind of lucks their way into one of these seats, but you don't know until you try. But then you realize, I think a lot of people, when they get into it, don't understand the process, don't understand the hardship, the amount of money it takes to even just move the needle. You could speak to every Republican club in the state. That doesn't really get the job done. It's just your opportunities to get in front of people are very, they're just not a lot of them. And the public's not necessarily as engaged on these down ballot elections. Congress might as well be state representative to some people. They don't really think about it. It's not on their radar. And then, like, the one time you had a fluke, it was George Santos in New York State, how'd that wind up? But I'll withhold this. I'll say this about tomorrow. Yes, I think Jerry Carl is a favorite, a heavy favorite. But man, the low turnout. If I were him, I'd be a little concerned about a low turnout event. And it's not about the percentages. It's just raw votes. Handshakes, making an impression on people. So there's a lot of unknowns here. No excuses for low turnout. What will be the turnout for the first football game? Squirrel Vereen asked. Well, I'll tell you, though, I think this is important, is people care about football. I mean, we could disparage people for caring about sports ball and not caring as much about politics and the future of the country. But, A, it's a reality. You're never going to change that. But B, people could do that if they want. As long as they pay their taxes, are productive members of society, they go to work every day, they're not on the public dole. If you don't want to care about politics, you're not giving me any heartburn. We should not put politicians and politics on a pedestal. This is what's wrong with politics. We shouldn't create false idols. We shouldn't look to the government to be the solution for everything. And sometimes in politics, I feel like we do that. Now, instead, putting football players and coaches on a pedestal, that's not helpful either. But if you want to care more about the Forrest Davis recruiting manual or annual recruiting guide than you do the Cook Political Report, then so be it. You're a free country and you're exercising your right. But you're right. There will be more turnout for football than there will be for elections, but because people care more about football, that's their right. Scrovery also writes, the cameras catch crooks, flock or ring or whatever. It's a strange complaint of a slacktivist. I think the flock cameras, the difference here, if people in the public don't want your municipality to do this, and a lot of people don't, we don't want cameras on every street corner put there by your government that you vote for, that you pay taxes to, then you have a legitimate gripe. Now, ring cameras, that's on private property, and you're right, that's just a reality. But I think what you see with the flock camera phenomenon is a lot of these things are going up, and we're not really talking about it, are we? We're not really having a due process, a hearing, they're just sort of, hey, we're going to put these things up and monitor the public. And people should, they should, I mean, maybe they do it at the city council meeting, they vote on it and okay it. But this is such an extraordinary thing to do. This is what Orwell warned us about. And I am absolutely fine with at least considering some of these complaints. 251-343-0106, Fire Dog. Jerry Carl has the coveted Fire Dog endorsement. I'm so excited to vote tomorrow. I might do it twice. Congratulations. Way to exercise your vote. You're double the constitutional champion that everyone else is. Unnamed texture. Jeff, why is there power available in Iran right now? Is Trump a failure in this regard? No power, no communications other than by courier or pigeon. No water, no petroleum equals, no ability to threaten commerce. Is Trump the boy who cried wolf? That from old guy. Old guy, that's a significant escalation. I think there's a fear if you go in and you decide to crumble their infrastructure, put them back in the Stone Ages, you create a lawless state. You create Libya 2.0 or Syria 2.0. And it ultimately, be it through some kind of foreign aid to the UN, somehow or another, the costs come back to haunt us. Well, you end up paying at least a share of their rebuilding expenses. So I think it's on the table. Old guy, I think it's certainly something that they're considering, but I am very, very I understand the reasoning here not to go after those targets. Not yet. But it's got to be on the table, and do they need at least a taste of it, perhaps, maybe to get their attention? 251-343-0106. More your texts on the way. Stay tuned. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Coming up in the next hour, Dale Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News. So please stay tuned for that. Let's see. Unnamed texter, while you were on vacation, I heard Scott, Erica, and Bradley. They were all interesting. Use them again if needed. Not a April Marie Fogle, Rebecca Watson. Well, Hampson was supposed to be on the docket, but he had something come up. So a week ago, we did a best of, but we'll have him tomorrow. But appreciative of all those fill-ins. Give me a little time away from the program as we we took a, if you're just tuning in, you weren't in on Friday, we took a trip up the upper Midwest. So we went up 98 and then up over to Jackson on 49, up 55, all the way to St. Louis, and that was night one, and then continued on northward to the state of Iowa. I've seen a lot of Iowa, by the way, and into Minnesota. Then it proceeded all the way east to Cooperstown. So we hit a bunch of baseball stadiums. We did 11 games at 10 stadiums in 14 days. But also got to go to Cooperstown and the Louisville Back Factory. And then sort of hit Atlanta on the way home, a Braves game. And all went well. Let's see, Moz. I saw an advertisement for Georgia Power yesterday saying they were cutting rates. Since Alabama Power is owned by the Southern Company, as is Georgia Power, do you think Alabama Power will ever cut its rates? I certainly don't. I think it's going to be forced to under the next administration. Let's just, for a moment, be honest. I expect a whole lot more out of Tommy Tuberville than Kay Ivey. I think you'll have some public pressure there. You know, you talk about all these utility rate hearings and things of that sort. I don't think that's going to do the trick. The thing that's always gotten me about Alabama Power, they're very, very aggressive in the political realm. They're very aggressive in the public policy realm. Why would you protect your turf? Why would you, at great expense, by the way, if there was a, what are you protecting exactly? Is it only so we could have coal ash contained at the Berry steam plant? I mean, I think there's a lot more to it than that. Leo can't wait to vote against Jerry Curl tomorrow. He's a Ukraine loving politician that loves to give away tax dollars. Sounds like a Democrat. Be dark. It ain't the flock cameras, it's the darn cell phone tracking. At least that's voluntary. I mean, if you wanted to go off the grid, in theory you could, and just not have a cell phone.
And I can't get to sleep.
One more here. Mike writes, luckily my house will have 3 votes for Sidwell to counter Fire Dog's votes for the data center loving far labor advocate Warhawk Derek Cherry Carl. That for Mike. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Somebody take me home through.